Hello and welcome everybody to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And this is your weekly Nerdcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened this week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Just a quick spoiler warning, if you haven't watched the latest and greatest in nerd television, including Gotham, Flash, Arrow, Heroes Are Born, Doctor Who, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., please pause this podcast, go watch those shows, and then join us again for the fun! Along with that, of course, we're going to be saying cuss words, so explicit content ahead. It may not be suitable for all listeners, so just take note of that.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the show, everybody. How are you doing, Mr. Co-host?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing, co-host?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's good. So, hope everybody's having a great week, as we always do.
Yep. We went to Value Town this weekend, I'd say.
Yeah.
I feel like we got a lot of stuff.
We did.
So, there's that. And, you know, just quite a bit happening, of course. Of course, we haven't read comic books in a long time, which is very saddening.
It is.
We've been very busy. But hopefully we'll catch up and be able to, you know, talk about some of that stuff pretty soon. I know I've read some recent things I'm kind of excited about. So, other than that, please make sure you guys go check out our social media sites. Share us with all your friends. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Nerdy Boys Reviews. You know, check out our website, nerdyboysreviews.com. We still have on our forum a giveaway for a Star Wars question, but nobody has answered yet. So, nobody has won, of course. But please go check that out. One lucky respondent will win.
Yay.
So, of course, you know, we got quite a bit of news this week. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have that much. But
yeah, it's not very much at all.
Not very much at all. But from what we do have, we have The Force Awakens has a TV spot, had an international trailer with some new footage, has all these new posters, international posters. But, I mean, I think at this point, it's like we're all excited for this movie, but we don't really need anything else, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Couldn't really agree more with that. I was just like, oh no. It's kind of like wearing down on me at this point. Like, I really don't want to see any more posters, any more trailers. I'm just like, I'm fine with what I've already gotten.
Right.
And I'm just ready to gear up for the movie.
Yeah, I mean, of course we're excited for the movie. Of course we already have our tickets. But it's like, we don't need any more of this hype stuff, you know? It's like, we're already excited. So, I mean, at least they know they don't have to waste their time with us. But, anyway, so, we have pictures of I don't know how to say his name, but I think it's Chiwetel Ejiofor. He's been playing Baron Mordo in the new Doctor Strange movie coming out. He was also in Serenity. He played the main villain in that, for those of you who don't know who he is. But, you know, of course, if you've listened to our podcast, you know, we don't really care for pictures that much. They don't tell us much. They just show you something. But I mean, he's in the costume. I don't know what they're going to add to it, if they're going to add makeup and things like that, but there have been a lot of Doctor Strange pictures this week and everything. So, I mean, I'm just excited for the movie and hopefully it will, you know, meet our expectations, right?
Exactly. Mm.
But yeah, something more concrete for Doctor Strange is, we do have a casting, piece of news. And that is for, what is this guy's name? Yes, Doctor Strange, yeah, there's a video featuring Benedict Cumberbatch and a mystery feller. This isn't the casting piece of news, but, yeah, this is just like a weird video from when they were in Nepal shooting and somebody thinks he's with a mystery figure, but I don't really care about that too much, but they did cast Michael Stuhlbarg, so he's going to play the role of Dr. Nicodemus West, the character who fixed Strange's hand, and even follows him to Kamar-Taj and undergoes his own mystical training. So, what do you think of this casting?
I don't really know, because I don't really know much about the person that will be playing the character, and I don't know much about the character itself. I don't know if it's just a made-up character or not.
No, it's actual character from the books. This guy he's been in Boardwalk Empire and something of a serious man. So I guess we'll have to see how he does, because of course we haven't watched those shows. Yeah. So I'm not sure how good he's gonna be, but I'm pretty excited for this movie, and that, you know, they're still, I mean, the fact that they're still casting people is not great because it's like we just want the movie to be here, but hopefully it'll be as good as it can, you know.
Yep.
Warcraft got a trailer. What did you think of this trailer?
Looked pretty sweet. I mean, very CGI. Much CGI.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do this movie necessarily without it.
I mean, maybe, maybe not.
Just I'm don't
not,
need that much?
Well, I mean, I'm not really complaining either. I'm just saying. It's just a lot of CGI. It's like, oh, geez.
Right.
I don't know. It looked pretty good, though, to be honest with you. It caught my attention. Before this, I was just like, oh, okay, a Warcraft movie. Like, I mean, I played World of Warcraft or whatever, like, back in the day. It's, like, been a long time, so it's, like, I don't know if they're going to go off, like, a specific, like, storyline from the game or whatever. Or are they just going to do, like, Horde versus Alliance kind of deal? It does look pretty interesting, though. I'll probably end up going to watch it.
Cool. So, some other casting news. Agent Carter adds Ken Marino as Joseph Manfredi, who is the son of the legendary Maggio boss Silvio Manfredi, who is Silvermane.
Yeah.
This guy appeared in the pages of Daredevil. He was the villain Blackwing, and he trained bats to do his bidding, but he always got his ass kicked by Daredevil. So he gave that up to be a more traditional kind of mob boss kind of thing, and I think that's where they're saying that they imagine him in this show.
Yeah, and they just kind of go on to say how much they love Ken Marino, and it's just like,
yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah, stuff that's not important.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it's an interesting casting. I don't know how that specific person will fit into Agent Carter at all, but
right.
As you know, the MCU aims to intermingle with everything, you know, just kind of intertwine all their products into one big picture.
Right, they might just have him in here as a build-up. Maybe we'll see Silvermane in Daredevil or something, or even one of the other shows, Luke Cage maybe. But
well, wouldn't you think that they would do Silvermane first then, because Joseph is his son?
Yeah, but I don't pretend to know what Marvel is doing, or, you know, even guess, because they try to subvert your expectations so much that it's, you know, but indeed. We'll have to see what happens. You know, Agent Carter was great last year. Hopefully it'll be great this year.
Yep. Should be interesting, but I don't know. Like, is it going to get its own full season? Or do we
I
know
think
any
it's
of that?
Just going to be the like intermediary thing again.
Yeah, just another miniseries, which is intriguing because it was so strong for the first year of the miniseries. It's like, are they going to be able to mount up to that, to those expectations or what?
Yeah, I think, I mean, are you asking my opinion on it?
Yeah,
I think it'll be great again. I don't doubt that they'll be able to impress us, and you know, hopefully it's not as slow as last time started. I know last time started pretty slow, but once you got into it, it was really good, you know. So hopefully it'll be like bang bang from the beginning.
Yeah, because I remember like it was like, I don't like the show, or like no. It started off like, oh, what a great show, and then it's like an episode or two was like really slow, and then it was like, this is the greatest show in the world. And yeah. I was like, oh man, like, I hope it's like, it gives you that same feeling, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So on Halloween, Deadpool, or not Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds had posted a picture as Deadpool with some little X-Men in front of him, and then we got a video the next couple days after that. Where he's like, we gotta form a team and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's pretty entertaining. Not much. I think it's more just like interesting kind of marketing thing for Deadpool, which honestly is three and a half, four months away.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty hyped for that movie.
Yeah. I mean,
it shows you how much Ryan Reynolds is really just into that character.
Yeah. How dedicated he is to making it as good as it can be. So.
Exactly.
Ralph Fiennes joins Lego Batman movie as Alfred.
Awesome!
He also played Voldemort, for those of you who weren't sure who that was. He also played Davy Jones in Pirates of the Caribbean. So he gets to talk like this a lot. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that's who that was.
Oh.
Well, that's pretty freaking sweet news to my ears.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Ralph Fiennes a lot. You can kind of tell he's Voldemort.
Yeah, I kind of like look at him now. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. That's it.
So, and then something from early this week, some very exciting news. CBS is developing a new Star Trek TV series for 2017.
Awesome!
Yeah. Star Trek fans out there, you guys are probably pretty excited.
Shit.
If you guys were wondering, if you heard this news and weren't, you know, had questions, we're going to answer those questions. So this brand new series of will introduce new characters, seeking imaginative new worlds and new civilizations, while exploring the dramatic contemporary themes that have been a signature of the franchise since its inception in 1966. So new characters, we're not going back to TNG, DS9, all that stuff. We're getting a new set of characters. They're still doing the same thing. They're exploring new worlds and civilizations and all that stuff. That's the whole motto of the show. You're going to have Alex Kurtzman as the executive producer. He co-wrote and produced the blockbuster films, the Star Trek films. I think that's a good sign because I think they did a very good job with those two films.
Yeah, I thought the Star Trek films, like the recent ones, were just really well done. Just kind of, it's good because then you'll have, like, something to go off of. You don't know, like, be in the dark about, like, well, how can he pull off a Star Trek TV show or whatever? It's like, you already have, like, basis info about how he'll direct it, pretty much.
Right. So one of the comments made was that this new series will premiere to the national CBS audience, then boldly go where no first-run Star Trek series has gone before, which is directly to its millions of fans through CBS All Access, which is digital media. So it sounds like it's not going through the actual show. It's going through CBS All Access, which right now is their streaming service, I believe, which is $6 a month, and it already offers every previous episode of Star Trek. So it looks like that's what they're doing. What do you think of that?
I don't really care for that too much. We already have streaming services. Like, why wouldn't you just, like, air it on, like, public television?
And
I
can just watch Netflix, it on,
like, right? Or, yeah, or, like, yeah. Netflix or something. Or I could just, like, watch it on Hulu or something. I'm just like, well, okay. Now, like, if we wanted to see this, we have to pay another subscription to something just to watch one TV show.
Yeah, I think, like, all these subscriptions are getting out of hand. Honestly, though, I feel like, you know, it's not going to be like that for too long. When you start getting all this stuff, I feel like Netflix is going to get too big. They're going to start buying up Hulu and things like that.
Probably.
Eventually, or
they'll,
you know,
just monopolize everything.
Partner with them, or just create some sort of conglomerate. But that's not nerdy news. Who cares about all that?
Yeah, probably.
But that is all the news we do have, except for one last thing. There was some news early in the week that I hadn't even heard. Scott told me about Doctor Who. This new season was said that it's going to be a short season. They're going to cut it short. But Stephen Moffat came out and said that's not true. It's going to be a full season of Doctor Who, so don't worry, everybody.
David, yep.
They got your back, Jack.
So, like, one thing I do want to address, though, and it's like, you know, I have no qualms, really, with, like, people over at, like, comic book resources or whatever, but it's like, I noticed, like, it's like more and more lately they've been, like, posting a lot of rumors.
Yeah, they post a lot of rumors, and I don't know, I don't enjoy their film reviews. Their TV show reviews, like, everything they post is critical. I don't think I've ever seen them post something good. They, you know, with the recent Spectre, I haven't seen it, but it was all super critical. With every episode of Gotham, no matter how much better it's getting, it's all very critical. I don't see anything positive coming out of that site about shows. Even with Ant-Man, I remember there was this huge thing that made me dislike CBR a lot with, you know, the Hope Van Dyne stuff and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, I mean, I've been using Superhero Hype for a lot of the news recently. They don't do as good of a job with the actual news as CBR, but I enjoy what they do. So
yeah.
But moving on, we're going to talk about Gotham now. This is Gotham Season 2, Episode 7, Mommy's Little Monster. When Butch takes Penguin to the warehouse where Gertrude is being held, he plans his revenge. Nygma faces the consequences of a deadly accident. So, what were, you know, what were some of your likes and dislikes and all that good stuff?
So, yeah, I loved all of the Edward Nygma stuff.
Nygma was great.
I mean, he's become a very consistent force on the show where it's just like all of his scenes have been good. It's like all they're very compelling, and now it's like becoming more compelling because you're actually watching like the transformation on screen of him from being Edward Nygma to like he's becoming the Riddler now.
Yeah, and his story in this has been more interesting than a lot of the other stories going on.
Oh yeah, so. For sure. And it's like now it's like you have like the fun little game that kind of happened in this episode where like his like alter ego is like taken Miss Kringle and like pretty much mutilated her body and like kind of hid it throughout the GCPD or whatever. And, you know, it's like, it's a game with his alter ego and himself, and it's like...
It's really a game with himself. Like, yeah. He's just schizophrenic, and he doesn't remember doing these things, but he is the one who did them.
Yeah.
It's that side of him that's going to start taking over.
I don't necessarily think it's going to take over, because you've even seen it, they kind of, like, merge together, and it's like, he realized, like, he enjoyed, like, what they just did and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but it's like, I don't know, like, it's hard because, like, one, I'm not a doctor or whatever, and I don't claim to be a professional on any of these subjects, but it's like, in my mind, when I think about, like, somebody that has, like, is a schizophrenic or whatever, it's like, I don't see them as the same people, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, to me, it's like, they're showing this other side of them as a manifestation, but to, you know, to a person who actually has it, it's like a voice in their head telling them to do things. And things like that, like,
yes.
But you know, obviously, he thinks he sees the other version of himself, but in actuality, that's just a helpful reminder for the audience.
Yeah.
So
other than like the Edward Nygma stuff, which is like I'll say again, very great. It was so compelling, so great, and kind of intense at moments too. Mm-hmm. I love that Gordon wasn't blind to Galavan.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of knew there was something fishy about
him. Yeah, we had been talking about how we've said a lot of things that have come true or that have been changed throughout shows that we talk about. And, you know, we've joked about it, like, oh, they're listening to us. Or, like, oh, yeah, they, you know, or we're just, like, super smart. And this was something I talked about last week, Galavan's story just being slow, and I wasn't enjoying it. And then this week, you know, it came to a head where, like, it's moving along, and now Gordon knows, and, you know, all this stuff. And that's something I really enjoyed. And of course, again, we were right.
Yeah.
Or they listened to us. So.
Something else I really enjoyed was, like, kind of, it's just like the one moment in the episode is like that clever idea to have 100 penguins walking down the road.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was like funny and cool, and I was like, oh, that was interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it had nothing to do with anything, but it was like, it was interesting for sure.
Right.
I like now that it's like the pent up conflict between Gordon and Galavan now, and it's like I like that, but it, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. So what were some of your likes in this episode?
Yeah, so I like I said, I really liked the development of Galavan's story. I did like you know how they you know went into Butch's betrayal and you know killing Penguin's mom. I feel like that was a thing we predicted anyway.
Yeah.
I like Gordon a fair amount in this episode, and I did enjoy the Penguin stuff as well. But and overall, I think the episode was very good.
Yeah.
But of course, there were some things I really didn't like.
Yeah, me too.
One of the things, kind of minor, like pretty minor, was like this guy on Gordon's task force is supposed to be this very skilled guy. He sneaks up on Tigress, and she kills him immediately. Like, he doesn't even have a chance. Like, you're, like, one of the top recruits out of the... You know, like we were talking about. It's like, all these people are, like, top recruits, and they can't even deal with, like, one person. Even when they have the element surprise.
I think I'm fine with it. It's just... Well, they have the belief that it's, like, justice before anything. So, it's like, they don't believe in killing other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, it's like, I never expected him to really walk out of that situation alive in any manner. I mean, maybe they could have done it differently. I suppose, and I understand like what you're saying, But it's like, on the one hand, it's like, it's not like he was ever just going to take the shot and kill her. You know what I mean?
Right, but at the same time, like, they were still shooting at Firefly next, like, last week, when Gordon was like, hold your fire! You know, they were all still shooting at, like, this little girl.
Yeah, so that's right. Like, I forgot about that.
I will take a second just to mention how stunningly beautiful the lady who plays Tigress is. She's, like, shockingly pretty. But, yeah, the other thing I really disliked was, like, the false conflict with Silver St. Cloud and Serena, or Selena Kyle. And it, to me, Silver St. Cloud, I didn't like the changes to her character in that way anyway. Like, she's just manipulating Bruce Wayne. And I think that's a bad image to put, you know, on, you know, young girls in a TV show in the first place. But, I mean, if you're going to do it, I guess it's okay. I mean, it doesn't really, to me, seem like Silver St. Cloud, but that's fine. If you're going to do it, that's fine. But then when Selena was just, like, lashing out and didn't tell Bruce what she said to her, that's, like, that's, to me, is false conflict. False conflict is anything that could be easily resolved just by talking to the person, you know? If that's all she would have said is, oh, well, this is what she said to me, then Bruce is stuck in this situation where, like, oh, well, maybe she's telling the truth, maybe she's not. I need to talk to Silver about this or whatever. But instead, just like, well, I know her type. Like, what the fuck? You don't know her type. You just know she's a bad person because she was telling you you're a little bitch and you need to stay away from fucking Bruce. Anyway, like, that stuff just irritates me to no end. But go ahead and tell me your dislikes.
Well, I definitely agree with that.
Yes.
Just that statement. That's all I really had for dislikes, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the episode was good, but things like that just drive me crazy.
Yeah, just, like, some quick talking points, like, maybe predictions, I guess, is, like, I'm just kind of curious as to what is Gordon really going to do about Galavan now? It's, like, is he going to openly, like, launch a campaign against him? Like, will he have, like, the captain to back him up? Will the captain not believe him? Like, what's going to happen with all this? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Gordon will probably try to tell Barnes about it. Of course, because, you know, he does want to actually clean up the city and things like that. But it's going to be hard because he's already campaigned for Galavan and endorsed him and everything. And so it's going to be difficult. And especially because it's like he's going to have to answer to Barnes about letting Penguin go. And he's going to, you know, and he's going to tell Barnes, oh, well, Penguin told me this. And Barnes isn't going to believe anything Penguin says. So it's going to create a problem there.
So. Yeah, it is what it is kind of deal. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's going to try and, like, do something about it, but Galvin will stay, like, one step ahead of him kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how much can he truly do without, like, just hard evidence that, you know, any of this stuff went down? It's like he's already been elected mayor.
Right. There's actual nothing that he can do at this point.
Yeah. So I think he'll just be stuck in a place where it's just, you know, he knows, but he's just going to be digging for things to bring up against him.
Right.
But, and I think Gordon will be the first one to stop him from getting any closer to Bruce. I think he's going to find out. He's going to do some digging and find out who Galavan really is and what his last name really is. I think he's going to find out about all that history.
Yeah, and I just want to take a minute to say that the writers have actually done a good job this season with making Bruce Wayne kind of more relevant. I don't enjoy the point now that, like, Silver St. Cloud is just being used to use Bruce and all this stuff. Like, I don't like that for Bruce's character, but the other things, like, how he ties in with Galavan and then, you know, Gordon moving forward, what Gordon's going to try to do against Galavan and things like that, I think is going to be very important.
Yeah. So let's just get to grading real quick.
Yeah. For this episode, I think I'd probably give it like an 8.7. Like, the Selena Kyle stuff really bugged me, like, especially because of how good she was last week. But that's not like the actress or anything. That's just the writing to me. And then, yeah, that's pretty much really it. But, yeah, 8.7, the episode was still very, very good overall, but, you know, just minor writing details bugged me.
Yeah, I graded it as, like, an 8.5, and we disliked it for the same reason. I just felt like it was just so, like, annoying to me. I'm just like, well, like, it really took away from the episode. Like, and it was still a great episode, don't get me wrong. I think, like, I thought it was, like, a good episode, but
that's, like, a season one error for this show to make, you know, like, just, like, random choices that really are bothersome.
Yeah.
But, looks like we're going to be moving on. Next show.
Yes. Supergirl, Season 1, Episode 2. Stronger Together is the title. Kara must put doubts aside as she tries to apprehend an escapee from the Kryptonian prison. Cat pressures James for an interview with Supergirl. I fucked that up. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. Randy, you were there for a second, then you disappeared. Anyway.
Nigel, get off our goddamn set.
Yeah, for real. Nobody invited you. Supergirl. What were your likes?
For the life of me, I can't remember the guy's name. Like, the guy that we felt that should be the Jimmy Olsen of this show.
I don't remember
his
name either.
I really wish I could remember his name, but...
I'll tell you his name. His name is Wynn.
His name is Wynn Shot. Wynn. So, Wynn.
Yes.
I liked it when, like, him, Jimmy, and Supergirl were all kind of, like, working as a team, helping her build up, you know, starting from the ground up kind of deal. I like that. I thought it was good. I liked the film score again. I thought it was pretty well done. Like, they played their music, like, kind of at, like, really great moments, I feel like, to kind of make it a little bit more lighthearted, like, in certain aspects, you know? Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the whole mishaps thing, you know, like, with her with the oil tanker or whatever it was, and it was like, I enjoy that because obviously she hasn't been doing
showing
it for
her flaws
long.
And everything, and she's just anxious to help.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that stuff because it's like Jimmy said, it's like even Superman makes mistakes, you know what I mean? And it's not like she's been doing this for the entire time she's been on Earth. It's not like that. She just started like a day or two ago, you know what I mean? It's like, well, a day or two ago, I mean, they're obviously going to make some fucking mistakes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it is what it is kind of deal. I really enjoyed, because this is a huge thing, like, with the whole Superman deal, and also with Supergirl, is, like, their disguise, you know? They don't wear a mask or anything like that, so people are like, oh, well, a pair of sunglasses... Oh, what a disguise, you know what I mean? And it's like, I've never knew what to say to those people, because there was nothing that seemed good enough to say.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy Olsen said something so awesome, I was like, I finally have something to say.
Yeah.
It gave me a reason to say to them, because it's like, I never had a good explanation. It's like, well, what am I supposed to say? Obviously, yes, that does look like Clark Kent, but it's like, the whole... thing, because Supergirl didn't want to give Kat the interview, and she was like, well, she, like, a pair of sunglasses glasses isn't gonna help her not recognize me. And Jimmy's like, well, she doesn't even see you now.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, he's like, people can't accept that there's a hero in their midst, you know what I mean? And I was like that was amazing. That was great writing,
pretty much saying, like, they would never, like, even though you look like her, they would never look at you and say, oh, well, that has to be her. Like, they can't see you in that manner, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they look past you as it is, so why are they going to look right at you and be like, oh, you must be Kara? Like, that would ever happen, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
And who expects someone, a superhero, whether it's Supergirl or Superman, who expects them to work at a newspaper place, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a superhero, you probably don't work, you know? Like, well, we know different, but they might just assume, you know, well, she doesn't work anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So.
What were some of your likes?
I did like, you know, of course, that. I like kind of like how they explain that it's not Clark's mom who's the villain.
Okay.
And it's not her mom. It's her mom's, like, twin sister, Astra.
Yeah, that was a cool spin on
so
it.
So it's like. That worked. I enjoyed them bringing in the hermaphrodite or whatever he was, the Helgramite. That was cool. Other than that, it wasn't great, I don't think.
Yeah. Oh, I also like the Krypton flashbacks.
Yeah, I like seeing Krypton, and I like the Phantom Zone kind of stuff. Like, just like the lore to Superman, you know, and his history and stuff. I hope they start talking about Kandor and stuff like that. Like, that's more of the things that we really enjoy about Krypton. I mean, that's why we were excited about the Krypton show.
Some of just get into dislikes. There was quite a bit of them. I hated, like, how they tried to give an extra meaning to the S on the chest kind of deal. Like, that really pissed me the fuck off. I was like, okay, that's not true at all. Like, why are you guys just like... Like, I don't know. I think, like, with the thing with the sunglasses, like, because it's such an often question, but it's like, the S is like, it's already been defined. It's right. Like, why are you guys trying to redefine it? And I was like, ah, I don't like that. Like, I don't know. It's something that just really bugged me, because it is the family crest, and it does mean hope. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But now it's like, oh, it's a saying now that stronger together.
Or yeah, which like, is the name like, of the episode.
I was like, okay, interesting way of trying to tie into episode name.
Right. Effect.
Like, okay, sure, whatever. And I was like, okay. Sure, I don't know. Like, I didn't like it at all. It really bugged me, for sure. I felt like just the graphics still need to be improved. Yeah. The acting needs to be improved. Especially, like, that scene with, like, the fucking, like, oil tanker, and she's, like, trying to pull it.
Oh, yeah.
First off, why would you not try to push it away? Like, are you retarded? Like, you have super strength, which that is a part of the mishap, so I did like, though.
Right.
Which is strange, I just kind of...
It's fine. Like, it's the same thing. Like, some of the CGI, like, the heat vision looks really cool.
Yeah.
But the flying looks very bad. Like, the fighting in the air, like, it's cool choreography, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look real.
Yeah.
It looks like you're on wires, you know?
Yeah. But no, like, the bad acting came from Subaru herself. It was, like, when she was, like, pulling the tank or whatever. It's, like, her fucking facial expression looked like she's trying to take a shit. Like,
yeah, like...
I mean, I guess she ended up, you know, kind of shitting all over the ocean. But you did... I remember,
like, when we weren't posting in casting, you had mentioned that, you do like the casting choice. Like, you like the girl who they got to play her. I do.
Well, okay, I like her features.
Yeah, yeah. Not
like, not in, like, any kind of sexual way. I'm just saying... I found it was, like, interesting, because, like, I think she's
pretty... They're not over-sexualizing Supergirl.
Yeah, like, I like that they're not over-sexualizing her, for one. And I do think she's, like, a pretty woman, you know what I mean? Like, I think she's beautiful, but I don't think she's, like, drop-dead, like, you know, Halle Berry-type gorgeous or whatever, you know? I like that for, right. Like, you know? I don't know. I guess the easiest way to say it is, like, she's very normal looking.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like this, like Stephen Amell of like the world kind of deal. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's just like an overly beautiful bastard, you know?
Yes.
And, okay, so, okay, this just really grinds my gears. The absurd amount of mentions to Superman.
Yeah, that is something that really irritated me. Like, especially because before the show started, it was like they're saying, oh, we don't want to bring Superman in. We don't want him to overshadow Supergirl. We want there to be a reason for Supergirl. It's like every single line talks about my cousin or him. They like I was talking about last week, they refer to him as a god, like him and he and this and that. It's bothersome.
Yep. Oh, the mentions to like I was like brought to this planet 13 years ago and I've been waiting to step up, and it's like every fucking scene, dude. It's so irritating. It's like when, like in the very beginning, she's like testing like her powers or whatever against the missiles, and then she's like, talking to her. So she's like, "I've been waiting 13 years or something like that, and I don't want to waste a minute." And it's like, dude, that shit's mentioned all the fucking time, dude.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. I'm just like,
knock it the fuck
off.
She
wants to talk. Like last week, she's like, "Oh, well." Well, I was always taught this and taught that. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter what you were taught. You made a decision not to use your powers. You made that choice. You can't go around being mad at other people because of a decision you made, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's pretty much, like, what I had as my likes and dislikes. But some things, like, to talk about is, like, obvious. It's, like, when you see, like, her aunt talking to somebody, it's like, you see, like, their arm or something like that. It's like, well, the way she was talking to me, I perceived it as, like, she's working for that person.
It's probably Non. I think maybe. Non is, like, the who we're supposed to believe is, like, the big, big evil guy.
Okay. Interesting. So. Well, yeah, because I was just wondering, I was like, well, who's she working for? Like, what is their objective?
Yeah, on Earth? Really do want to know what their objective is. Like, that's something else that's kind of bothersome is, like, you have these villains, but you don't know what their purpose is. Like... And they've been here for 13 years, too, or whatever. Like, they've been here just as long as Supergirl. So why have they not done anything till now? Like,
yeah.
This is something, like, that needs to be answered. Or
maybe we'll find out next episode, and you know, just still give it a chance for sure.
Right.
Grading?
Six.
Jeez.
I don't know. I don't think it was like. I mean, it was okay. Six to me is okay. You know.
I don't know. Like, that seems like a little harsh to me because, like, you gave it like a 6 last week, and when we watched it,
I gave it like a 5.5 last week.
I gave it a 5.5.
Oh.
And then I was like, then when we watched it, and we both said like almost at the same time, we're like, oh, well, it was improvement.
Yeah.
From last one, so it's like, well if it's an improvement, it can't be the same.
I don't remember what I gave it, but if I gave it a 6, then I guess I give it a 6.5.
All right.
A little bit better.
Well, I feel like I gave it a pretty generous grade because I had it like range from 6.5 to 7, then I changed it to 7. I think really it's just like they're still trying to find their feet, and it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, yeah. I felt like it was like this. It was a much better episode than last episode.
All shows, pretty much, with the rare exception, The Flash, struggle on their first season, you know? Like, first season is a lot of treading water.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rare, but, I mean, you definitely do have, like, the seasons that can really just get off the ground, like, right away. Like,
yeah, and I do think, like, something that's important is that this show is getting a lot of viewership and pretty good ratings, even, you know, with us tearing apart. Like, that's good because that means, you know, if they get a second season, all this stuff, they'll have a higher budget, they'll be able to pay for better effects. They'll be able to do more cool things.
Talking about ratings, though, I found something interesting. Is like, so last week there was their premiere,
mm-hmm.
their pilot episode. They broke all these records, highest viewed like fall show or whatever, with the exception of like The Big Bang Theory or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, we understand why. But then you go to their second episode, and it's like, I seen this article, I was reading about it. It's like their second episode did like really bad in mm-hmm. ratings and views and stuff like that. It's like, did their first episode fall so far below people's expectations that people were turned off?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, in this day and age, you really can't succeed as a show without great effects. And I don't think they've accomplished that. And that's the thing, is like, Supernatural, sure, it's been on for 10 years, but in their first season, I bet you can testify they had better effects than this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that was 10 years ago?
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, even Smallville back in the day, you know, like, better effects. And it's like, dude, we're in 2015. If I can literally, like, it's supposed to be a mid-air fighting scene where you guys are both flying, and I can literally tell that you guys are on wires.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Come on, guys. Get it together. I'm sure you guys don't have that low of a budget where you guys are just doing this shitty effects.
Right. I mean, and it is ambitious. Like, Superman took him... I mean, Smallville, how many years did it take before they actually showed him fly, right? Like, this show, it's like...
Literally the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could... So. That was, like, a really big thing in Smallville. Like, he couldn't figure out how to fly.
Yeah.
It was, like, his last power that he ever learned.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean...
And then they ended it. Fucking bastards. Actually, he did sleep fly once, and that's how he figured out he could fly.
I remember when I was watching it, like, I thought he flew and saved a plane or something one time.
Like, oh, well, that's when the Kryptonian side of him completely took over.
Right.
And then, like, everything else was, like, achievable. But, like, that was the thing, is, like, they used, like, it's, like, the fact that he had a grip, so, like, such a hard grip to, humanity.
Mm-hmm.
He was never able to reach his full range of abilities.
Gotcha.
Pretty much.
Well.
But enough about that.
Even so, I guess we're gonna kind of have some hope for the future of this show, but you really have to see where it goes.
Yep.
So, moving on to The Flash.
The Flash!
The Darkness and the Light. This is Season 2, Episode 5. Barry sets off to capture a new Breacher who has come through the portal, but Jay tries to tell him she's not a threat. Barry and Patty go on a date.
Cool. Aw, the little
honestly,
lovers.
I think, I don't know if you'd agree, but the best part of this episode was Cisco.
Yeah.
It was just like almost everything you said I laughed at, or I just found it hilarious, and like, when Barry was on the date and stuff, it's like funny.
Oh my god, what did he say that had me fucking dying? He's like, oh man, it was so funny. He was talking about like being like a stalker, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm peeping. Oh, yeah, I'm still here. He's like, yeah, that's right, bud. I'm still here. Oh, my God, dude. It had me fucking dying. Dude, all right, let's get into it, because this was an awesome episode.
Yeah, this was a great episode. So, like, I don't know, some of my likes, Harrison Wells, obviously.
Yes.
But completely different. Like, he's much more of a dick, which I think I really liked, like, how different he was. Dr. Light, in the comic books, was not Linda Park.
Yeah. Just real quick, it's, like, so funny that you mentioned that. We're talking about how funny Cisco is. He literally says that. He's like, it's so funny. You look the same. You act the same. But you're just a dick. I was like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, and then Cisco. Harrison Wells kept calling him. He called him Crisco. And then when he's like, I didn't kill Ricky, he's like, Ronnie, him either. That was like a funny.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Linda Park in the comic books was not Dr. Light. Dr. Light was originally a male. In the New 52, it's a female with an Asian name that I don't remember. But I like that they made it Linda. I think that's cool. You're having fun.
Yeah.
what'd you think? Do you like Linda as Dr. Light?
I did.
I mean, what else was great? The date was great. I don't know. I didn't dislike anything about this episode, honestly.
All right.
Jay and Harrison Wells fighting.
Yep.
Pretty great. Go ahead. I know you've been waiting.
All right. Number one on the list. Harry's back.
Yes. That's why. Yeah. And then you mentioned last week, right? You were like, see, this, they listen to us. They have to. You mentioned, they never called him Harry before. And then Cisco explains, he's like, well, we're just going to call you Harry. Or something, like, because you're a different person, whatever.
I'm a genius. All right. So, Cisco was fantastic in this entire episode. Awesome.
Awesome.
No complaints from Cisco. He was definitely a shining star in this episode.
Yes.
He gets a gold star next to his name.
Boop, boop, boop.
All right. Hawk Girl.
Hawk Girl. Yes. Kandra Saunders.
Kandra Saunders, you would say.
Apparently all the dark-skinned females in the show start working at Jitters and then become relevant.
Probably.
That's what it seems like.
Yep. Oh, man, she looks super hot, too, man. I was like, oh, yes. So beautiful. It's super hilarious when Cisco is, like, you know, hitting on her. He gets super burnt. Just, like, fucking, oh, my God, crash and burn, dude.
Yeah.
Oh.
he was, like, lecturing Barry. And Barry is like, oh, would you do that? He's like, hell yeah, man. And he's like, watch and learn. And he's like,
Yeah. But then he actually ends up getting the girl at the end, which I liked.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is hella funny, because, like, I was watching, so what? What you gonna tell me next? That fucking Cisco's magically Hawkman now? I was like, oh, man, dude, that's hella funny. That should be interesting when Hawkman arises within the storyline.
Hawkman's a dick anyway.
Well, that's okay. Okay, the blind date was hilarious. Cisco was hilarious.
That was great.
Conflict between Jay and Harry.
Yes.
I like calling him Harry. Dr. Light was mad cool.
Yeah, those were some good effects.
And then Harry outs Cisco as a metahuman.
He does. And then when he does that, I forgot what Cisco said, but it was pretty funny.
He's like, what, me?
He was like, I was going to tell him or something. Like, he said something.
He was like, I was going to tell you. Guys, or some shit like that. This was a great episode.
Yes.
Let's go to dislikes. Oh, wait, there isn't any.
You wrote, I don't know.
Yeah, I literally put dislikes, I don't know. Like, I can't find anything wrong with the episode.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't a 10.0.
At the same time, there wasn't any big thing. There wasn't any major driving force or, you know, big moment. But, I mean, it's just a great episode.
It was superb.
Joe tried to shoot Harrison Wells on sight.
Hey, how are you alive? How are you alive?
He shot him like 3 times. Barry saved him. And then he, what did Wells say to him?
He said,
oh, he said, He said,
how are you alive?
Oh, yeah, he said, how are you alive? He's like, because you missed. their writing was great.
What a riot. okay, some just quick talking points. So, what are Dr. Wells' motives?
I mean, honestly, I think he's really there to try to make amends. Well, okay, no, I disagree. I remember the end of the episode now. Zoom has his daughter.
is it just his daughter?
I think...
Because if it's just his daughter, why not reveal that? I literally wrote that down.
See, so the thing is...
Because I knew you were going to say that.
The thing is...
I'm a smart kid.
The thing is that if it wasn't his daughter, if he really was trying to do something more, he would kind of side with, like, the Jay Garrick kind of idea, which is like, you know, deal with this way, deal with this way. Instead, he's like, no, we need to take out Zoom. We have to get Zoom now. We take out Zoom and it all ends. And that makes sense. But it makes more sense when you realize that Zoom has his daughter. And if they take out Zoom, his daughter will be safe.
Yes. But why not reveal to them that Zoom has his daughter? Why not reveal that to them?
Well, I don't think... I mean, I think he's just too cynical. And I think that he is afraid. Well, I don't know if he's afraid, but I don't know exactly what his motives are, but I don't think he's there to try to hurt them or anything. I just
don't know if his daughter is the only reason. You know what I mean? There has to be something. I think it might be like the whole reasoning of how everybody became a metahuman. It's like maybe Zoom knows that. Because remember, Jay does mention he's like, you guys can't trust him. He knows more than he's letting on or something like that.
Yeah. And I love how, like, they have answered questions that we haven't necessarily asked, but I'm sure the audience is wondering, like, why didn't Jay just stop him, you know? And it's like,
who?
Why didn't Jay just stop Zoom in the first place? And things like that.
Oh, well, yeah, because he's not strong enough.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, Barry is obviously much more powerful than Jay Garrick was. Even on Earth 2. but I think I want to change my answer. So, like, what if...
But wait, you already said final answer.
I didn't say final answer. I didn't submit
it. It happened, okay?
Okay, alright.
I'm just kidding.
So, here's a theory, right? I'm sure you have a theory.
Okay.
I think I remember distinctively a couple times in this episode, just like, to mention that, well, Zoom could make anyone do anything.
Okay.
What if Zoom sent Harrison Wells back to, you know, with his daughter as bait to take care of the Flash? But in order to do that, he has to gain his trust, and he has to convince him to go to Zoom before he's ready so Zoom can kill him.
That was basically my idea. You stole my idea, you fucker.
You didn't say final answer.
Okay, you had a theory. I asked you. I said, but do you think his daughter's the only reason? And you're like, yeah, I think it's the only reason. And I was like,
ha ha ha. Get you stymied.
And I was like, yeah, that's what his final answer. And I was like, okay. And then I was going to reveal it, and you're like, oh, wait, I want to change my intro. I was like, nah, it's all good. But no, that was basically my theory, is I was like, well, what if Zoom sent back Dr. Wells or whatever? But okay, you can take that standpoint. I'll let you have that. I'll take the standpoint is that he really is hiding something, and I think it has to do with I don't know, probably something to do with why, I don't know, man, fuck, I had a hella good reason, and then you took it from me. Shit.
I'm sorry.
Okay, whatever, I'll agree with you, sure.
Well.
Okay, grading.
Grading, I'd probably give it like a 9.4.
9.4.
Excuse me, yes. It was very good. It was very good.
That makes my grade seem a little low. I only gave it like a 9.0.
Well.
Seems
would like, you like to would you like to change your answer?
Funny guy you are. Real funny.
Okay then. Yeah, Scott was giving me dirty looks. in that moment of silence.
Yes. It's okay. It's okay. All right. So, I think we're going to move on to the Arrow, right?
Arrow, yes.
Yes, Arrow, Season 4, Episode 5, Haunted. Oliver calls in a favor from an old friend, John Constantine, Matt Ryan, when things with Sarah take a turn for the worst.
Yes, yes, yes. So Sarah is a crazy bitch.
pretty much. I mean, she's really gone all loon and stuff.
She's pretty footy loony right now. She's not in her right mind at all.
I mean, I really don't know why the loony police haven't come and got her starry ass.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Oh, she's just running around trying to kill people who look like Thea.
Oh, maybe there's more to it.
Perhaps. I guess this none of that matters. What okay. matters, guys, is that John Constantine was in this episode.
Oh, God. He was so great.
So groovy.
Totally far out, man.
Bro, he's like awesome.
All right, seriously, though, guys. It was a pretty good episode. Not too bad, not too bad. Yeah. Very major upside.
Yeah. You know, and we had talked about, you know, the problems with the writing and the way they write females on the show and things like that.
And that didn't improve at all, but hey.
Well, I tried pretty hard to find things that annoyed me about certain characters. But I really didn't. Like, the Laurel stuff with her and... Did that bother you a lot? Like, I tried to make it bother me. I tried to let it bother me. But it really didn't bother me that much when she was talking to Oliver and kind of like, you don't think about how I feel. But...
Interesting.
I don't think that bothered me very much.
Interesting.
The only thing that really bothered me is, like, how Ollie's been pretty, like, supportive and helpful to Thea the whole episode. And then he tries to call her when she's, like, hurt at home. And she's like, I've had enough judgment for one day. I was like, are you serious?
Actually, he did judge her.
Did he?
Yeah, remember when he finds out that they went to Nanda Parbat behind his back?
Yeah.
And then he's like, he doesn't like really scold her too hard, but he does give her a hard time about it. You know, he like makes a sly mention of it. He's like,
yeah, but I think
go behind my back or whatever, you know what I mean? And I was like, well,
I think that's more towards like Laurel.
No, because he was just talking to Thea, and Thor hadn't gone to the hospital yet. But like,
oh, gotcha. Well, but then like, I don't know, when like he actually does tell her like how he feels about it, like he's like very supportive of her, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, can you really be too like surprised by that reaction by this point? Because like, to be honest with you, like Oliver is a very judgmental person, and like, if they don't do something that would like line up with his beliefs, he doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's always just kind of been him, and that's kind of like a reoccurring theme in this show. Is like him kind of readjusting like what he like believes and like how he judges people. You know, it's like, well, it's not just me anymore.
I think he feels like everything should be done the way he would do it, and. Yeah. The fact, like, because he didn't want people to help him in the first place.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would necessarily care if they stopped.
Yeah.
So, like, he's just going to do things the way he feels they should be done. And if you don't want to do it that way, then whatever. Like, go leave.
Okay.
But,
So, my likes.
Yeah.
My likes. Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
You superb, pretty bastard, yeah, you.
He was great.
I felt like for probably like the first time this season, like I felt like the flashbacks were relevant once again. I mean, it had something to actually kind of do. Like
I find the flashbacks to be relevant a lot, but
I don't know. Like when they were just like randomly having him on the island, I'm just like, why is he even here? What the hell?
Well,
who cares?
If you look at like what's going on the island, it's supposed to represent the overarching theme of the episode. Like, in how he's using that experience to drive his decision-making in the present time.
What?
If you watch it, you'll notice that.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't really think it's like that. I mean, I feel like a lot of times, like the flashbacks will tie in a certain way of, like, a certain character that might be on the episode at that point. But it's, like, I don't really find that him, like, you know, like, covering up the fact that he didn't kill, like, the woman or whatever. And they're suspicious of him doing it. And, like, just in the nick of time, like, as, like, they entered the tent, there's John Constantine, almost, like, that had nothing to do with anything else other than how he met John Constantine.
Right, but there are themes in that.
How? Where?
Watch the episode, you'll see the themes.
No, why don't you tell me the damn themes? Well, because I disagree that they don't really have this deep-hitting meaning behind them, like... There's
I don't
like,
think they're deep or hidden. I just think
like I think there's like points to them or whatever, but I don't think like each flashback has anything to do with the.
It's like, not each flashback. It's like if you take all the flashbacks from that episode and put them together, it kind of represents like the same theme as like what's going on outside of that.
How? I just explained what happened.
Well, like in this episode, not so much, but like in the past episodes, it's been like that.
I mean, sometimes. Not everyone.
I'll start noting it. So then.
All right. But like I mean the most recent one is like when he's with what's her name? Katana and them and like they're like trying to fight like the what's like the infection or whatever or mm-hmm. no like the disease.
Right. The alpha or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Omega
like,
or whatever they call it.
Yeah, like that was relevant. Like that actually had to do with like what they were actually dealing with at that one time, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And you get to find out like oh, how he how like their son died or whatever cuz you kind of always wondered that.
Right.
But this is like I don't really see like a theme that like had to deal with that. Like anything that happened in this episode.
Well, I think they're trying to tie in what's going on in the island to Hive right now. Like because Oliver is working for Amanda Waller on the island right now.
Okay.
So I think they're trying to
but
tie
Amanda Waller's not part of Hive. She's part of Argus.
I know, but they're investigating Hive, I think. It has something to do with whatever these drug dealers are doing, and that's what even Constantine kind of like reaffirms. He's like,
I mean,
these aren't the people you think they are. Like, they're not just like small drug smuggling raid thing, you know?
I mean, I could see that, but I mean, just saying that like on a whim without being confirmed, which I do get, I can see them being Hive now, you know? But it's like without for sure knowing that you can't just say like, oh, this has something to do with what's going on in the episode.
I
other than the fact of like how he met Constantine.
Right, and Constantine owed him a favor and all this stuff.
Yeah, that actually has to do with something. But like a lot of the flashbacks, like what about last week or whatever, you know, it's like they're trying to figure out who stole the pound of cocaine or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck did that have to do with anything? Like, that was boring as shit and a waste of fucking airtime.
Well, I'd have to rewatch the episode to tell you exactly, but I'm sure I'd find a way to have it, like, how it ties in. It's something
but
with
that's
like
just forcing something.
It's no, like, it's not. If it's like, you know, something like that is like, oh, well... things that Oliver has learned and like now that he has to, you know, how he gets out of situations and things like that, you know, it all like it all shapes him to the person he is now, so it's all kind of relevant.
I mean, I think like when you piece all the flashbacks together, they become relevant, but not every flashback is like relevant or useful like on its own.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure there are some you can do without, but I mean, I think overall like they have meaning.
Well, I never said that they, overall, they don't, or I didn't like them. I'm just saying this season has felt pretty useless to me.
Right.
In flashbacks. Up right. until this point.
Yeah, know? I mean, they've been kind of slow. And, yeah, I mean, not super important, but...
Yeah.
You know, overall, I think that they're relevant.
Okay, so... I felt like it was an interesting way to save Sarah's soul...
I'm just surprised, you know, something that I did like was that not everybody's like, who is this guy? Why is he going to help us? I don't trust him, blah, blah, blah. Like they people have usually done in the past, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't trust Oliver's decision-making. Maybe, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. Because I can easily see it going that way.
I could see that, too. But I thought it was, like, pretty interesting, like, how they saved her soul.
Yeah.
Like... it being like it's actually like trapped in like this dimension or whatever, you know, like I thought that was hella cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're actually able to retrieve it, you know, like something didn't go horribly wrong or whatever. It's just they went on the mission and fucking actually succeeded.
And Matt Ryan was a total badass.
Yep. And then my last like of the episode was I called it, Palmer ain't dead.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that Palmer wasn't dead. Our question was, you know, kind of, where is Ray Palmer? You know, you said, well, he's miniaturized, running around miniaturized and whatever. And,
I'm pretty sure I'm right about that too, because he's like
100% what happened.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I was messing with my nanotech.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
He's like, and I don't know how to be big again. He didn't say that, but that's pretty much what he's trying to say.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, if Felicia's like, you've never known how to be big.
No wonder she chose up.
But, yeah, I mean.
What are some of your likes?
Yeah, John Constantine. John Constantine was my likes.
Interesting. I have one person under my dislikes.
What?
I said, interesting, you have one person under your likes, and I have one person under my dislikes.
Oh. No, I did have other likes. I kind of liked the Diggle stuff, mm-hmm. with Diggle and Captain Lance. I thought that was pretty interesting. The Damian Dark stuff with Captain Lance, I was like kind of like asking him, but like I think that would make him suspicious, you know? Like, how does Damian Dark not know that John Diggle is associated with Oliver Queen, and that Oliver Queen is associated with Laurel Lance and Captain Lance? Like,
I mean, you never know sometimes.
No, you never know, but...
Well, then again, it's like, he doesn't know who the Green Arrow is. Like, he doesn't know it's Oliver Queen.
No.
So, aha!
Aha!
You figured it out.
Yes. Well... Anyway, though, yeah, I mean, I liked a lot of the stuff, but a lot of the filler stuff, too, like, well, like, I guess it's relevant, but boring, you know?
What?
Like, the Thea stuff with, like, Sarah trying to kill Thea,
uh-huh.
and all, like, that other stuff, like, to me, was just, it was very soap opera-y, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah? What do you think?
I didn't like it or dislike it. I was just, like, very mad about it.
Boring.
No, I didn't find it boring. I just didn't really, like, truly care, really.
Yeah, which to me...
But makes, I didn't hate it either, you know?
Right, which it's to like me, like, makes it seem, like, boring. Like, you didn't have interest enough to even make an opinion about it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it was, like, kind of interesting because it's, like, Thea was, like, able to make the... connection of like what she was going through, because yep. like she goes through that with like not being able to kill like Ra's al Ghul or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I mean, I don't know.
But do you think that if Sarah would have killed Thea, it would have been better?
No.
Yeah. Like, because her soul is still missing, you know.
So here's the real thing.
Okay.
So if Sarah's soul was trapped, do you think a part of Thea's soul is trapped?
Hmm.
Or fading away into that place?
Well, I don't know if it's a part of it. Like Sarah was dead, so when they brought her body back, her soul stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Thea wasn't dead. So, like, when she was brought back, it's like when she was just healed, like, her soul hadn't passed to another world yet. Her body mm-hmm. hadn't passed to another world yet. And I don't know how this works in this universe. I don't know if yeah. part of your soul starts like when you're dying, like part of your soul starts to escape the body, but then when you're brought back, like it stops. So maybe a part of her is missing. It's possible, but I don't know. I don't think that the writers put that much thought into it.
Well, they should have. Nah, I was just curious, you know.
Right.
But dislike.
Dislikes, I mean, there wasn't, like, a whole bunch to dislike, but it, I don't know, like, what were some of your dislikes?
Laurel.
Laurel. You didn't like Laurel in this episode? You didn't like her?
I found it just the same old, writing with female characters.
I didn't like,
Ooh, don't you judge me, Oliver, you have no right to judge me, you don't care about me or my family, even though you saved my life, like, hundreds of times, even before I even knew you were the Arrow, and shut the fuck up. That was super annoying, and I almost punched this TV while I watched it. I was like, shut your fucking face. Well, I appreciate
that you didn't.
Yes.
But that didn't really bother me.
Really?
Yeah.
That didn't bother you that she was like, you don't care about my family!
Like, sometimes I, like, roll my eyes at stuff, and I really didn't, you know. Maybe it's because I just, you know, the only thing that was keeping me into this episode was John Constantine, really.
Okay.
Like, when he wasn't on screen, I didn't
take
pay
him
much attention.
Take him out of the episode.
Take him out of this episode, and then the episode
how annoying.
The episode is not compelling. The episode is not good without John Constantine in it.
Okay, but no, just like, imagine, just think about John Constantine is not in this episode. And don't think about how much you would miss him out of the episode. Just say if they just wrote it as a regular episode, just without the John Constantine stuff, it's like, even without having to go save Sarah's soul or whatever, it's like, just take about up till they see John Constantine, and just that's where they cut. How annoying is fucking Laurel?
Yeah, I mean, without John Constantine to keep me entertained, this episode is not good.
Very,
and it,
very bad.
That would bother me, you know? Like, that would be something where I'm just like, you know, another bad thing, like, another thing. Like, it's like, people can't talk in this show. People can't just say, hey, guess, you know, like, let's talk about this. It's like, with characters like Laurel and Thea, it's always like, you don't do that, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. It is annoying. But I do get where she was coming from, because Oliver, you know, really wasn't considering how she felt.
I think it's the other way around. I don't think she considered anybody else's feeling other than the fact that, I miss my sister.
Which is also true.
And Oliver brought up the valid point. It's like, she had died and everyone dealt with that in their own ways. And it's just the fact that Laurel never got over her sister's death, that she was so fucking selfish that she brought her back to life.
Right.
It's like, okay, how do you know that there isn't a heaven in this universe and she wasn't chilling with God? It's like, think about if she came back to her body and remembers that stuff somehow. It's like, what if she's angry with her?
That's been done. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She died. She went to heaven. Her friends all thought she was in hell. They brought her back. And now she's on Earth in hell. I mean, and that's like,
see what I mean? It's like she's so defensive. It's like, the way they write her, she's so defensive that it's like really, like, he wasn't considering your feelings. How about you didn't consider anybody else's feelings that had to go through the death of Sarah as well? She really felt like she was the only one that dealt with that.
Yeah, it is selfish.
And I mean, was like, that's beyond
selfish because it's selfish to her. She's not thinking about her dad. She's not thinking about Oliver. She's not thinking about Diggle. She's not thinking about Felicity. She's not thinking about anybody who had anything to do with Sarah.
Yeah.
Did that girl die? The girl who was, like, in, like, a lesbian relationship with Sarah? Or not lesbian, but, like, what was her name? She was, like, friends with Harper.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I thought she died or something.
No, but her... Her, like, dad was, like, that pilot that, like, they found on the island,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah. But, I mean...
That was very random.
And she didn't consider... Well, I mean, she didn't consider her either, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they all know her. Sin, that's her name. They all knew her.
Yeah. It's, know? Like, nobody considered, like, you know... I mean, Laurel never considered anybody else. But she's quick to play the victim, for sure. You know what I mean? And, like, that's what I find so annoying about her. You know what I mean? And it's, like, for a while, she got away with that. I mean, got away from that.
Right.
You know, she became the Black Canary and she was able to handle herself and she didn't feel like the victim anymore. But then it's like, she all of a sudden she found out about, there's a way to bring my sister back. Let me do that. Let me not ask anybody else. Let me go about it in secret, because she didn't want to deal with anybody's judgment, because she knew the decision that
she
made
was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. She knew the decision she made was wrong, and that's why she ran off in secrecy with Thea.
Right.
And then ended up fucking Thea over too, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it's like, the fact that she has, like, just that fucking god-awful reaction, I'm just like, it just pissed me off to no end, and I was like, really? And then even after how she acted throughout the episode, it's like, they write, like, Oliver all, like, graceful and stuff. It's like, pretty much, like, telling his campaign manager, like, to fuck off, pretty much.
What did you think of his campaign manager and ideas and things like that?
I mean, I think he was very, very valid in like, all of his...
But if, like, someone told you that, you wouldn't listen to him.
Well, I don't know. I probably wouldn't talk to my exes.
Well, it's not that it's your exes. It's, like, a longtime friend, you know, or whatever.
Well, I guess if it's the same kind of relationship that Oliver and Laurel have, no, I wouldn't listen to him.
Yeah.
Probably would have fired him.
But anyway. If it was actual Laurel, I don't think you would still be friends with her at that point anyway.
Probably not.
But
I'd be like, oh, really?
But yeah,
no,
I don't care about you. I can definitely see that. Like, it seems like she was the one being the selfish one and making all these bad choices, and instead of dealing with the consequences of it, she turns around and makes it like it's all over his fault.
And let's also look at a point. It's like, okay, you claim that, you know, Oliver doesn't care about you, but it's like he saved your life all these times. And think about, like, when the undertaking happened, Oliver was actually on his way too. It's just Tommy happened to get there first.
Yeah.
You know, he was there to save your life too, and it's like...
Too bad he was also busy trying to save the rest of the city.
Exactly. But it's like, how can you claim that somebody's, like, that's taken, like, so much precaution and has actually failed missions based off of how he felt about you say that they don't care about you? It's like, you have no right to say that. You know what I mean? It's just, she was in such a defensive mode that it was like, oh, you know, I'm going to say this because, you know, it's easily, like, I don't know. Like, I fucking do. I don't know. It's,
I
hate how they write women in this episode. And it's not even the actor that I don't like. It's the writing that they do for that character. I hate.
It's the writing for most of the female characters. I mean, it gets bothersome. At least the main ones, you know?
Yeah.
But even with, like, Nyssa and stuff, it's, like, bothersome writing a lot of the time. And it's, I don't like it. Like, there are ways to write good, strong female characters, and this is not the way.
Yep. So, just, I have one talking point, and then pretty much done with the Arrow. Is this, where do they go? Where does Sarah go from here, pretty much?
I question how many more episodes she'll be on in this season. I think her initial thing is going to be, I need to leave, and then they're probably going to convince her to stay, and then she's going to leave anyway at the end of the episode, or at the end of the following episodes or something.
Yeah, but I'm sure you'll have that classic Captain Lansing, "Ooh, you're my baby girl." I just got you back, baby girl. It's like, and then,
it's...
I don't know, man. This fucking show, dude. It's like, I want to love it, but I hate it all so much.
Well, it's like, I just want Roy back. Bring back Roy Harper.
Dude, for reals. Like, I was thinking about that, too, when we first started talking about it. I was like, man, where is Roy Harper at?
Yeah, it's like... obviously, like, he can't come back because he was Oliver... Or he was the Arrow. You know, he's the Arrow. And everybody knew that.
Yeah. So, gradings.
Honestly, Matt Ryan gives me this, you know, he has encouraged me to give this episode a 7.2.
Very interesting.
I mean, other than that, like, there wasn't anything compelling. Like, it's just Matt Ryan, and, I mean, this episode, I can't, in good conscience, say this was a good episode of Arrow, when the only thing that made it good was their guest star.
Interesting. Changed my whole grading.
He deletes his grade. He's putting in a new grade. Holy shit. What? He just dropped his grade 6 whole points. What the hell?
Is that harsh?
That's harsh. That's very harsh.
All right.
How can you give this episode a worse grade than Supergirl?
Did I give Supergirl? Hold on.
You gave Supergirl a 7. Seven point oh five, folks.
Yep, that's pretty much it. I didn't really mind the episode that much. I just hated Laurel. So I'll actually tell you what my original grade was an 8.0. I felt that Laurel was so bothersome to me that it dropped 2 points or whatever, and I don't think it ever had the makings of a 10.0, regardless, or a 9.0 for that fact. I just think that the reason it didn't drop lower than an 8.0 is because of Matt Ryan, really.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This episode is episode six of season three. Sorry about that. Called Among Us Hide... The stakes get higher as May and Hunter pursue Ward and Hydra. Coulson thinks the ACTCU could be keeping a big secret.
Okay, and by the way, may I say, whoever wrote this is a moron because it was May and Bobby, you ass
May
clown.
And Bobby. Yeah, I think I read somewhere else, like, the same thing somewhere else. Like, this is wrong.
Yeah, that's why I was so confused.
Yeah.
So, anywho.
So, yeah.
What was your likes, mate?
I liked the stuff with May and Bobby. I thought that was good stuff.
That was great
stuff. I also enjoyed Skye a fair amount in this episode. She was cool.
Who's Skye?
Daisy.
Yeah, there you go.
Daisy.
Hello, Miss Daisy.
Hello, Daisy. I thought the stuff with Fitz and Simmons was compelling again.
Really? Like their 2 seconds of airtime?
Yeah, their whole 2 seconds. Well, Fitz was really good throughout the whole episode.
Okay.
Even
though he was a complete dick to Hunter for no reason.
It wasn't for no reason. Hunter's just like, has ADD. He's just sitting there like, oh, I need to go on a mission, but I can't, so I'm going to go sit bother everybody else in this goddamn place.
That's rude.
I did like Hunter throughout the episode, though. He was great.
I did, too.
I didn't really care for the Coulson storyline.
Yeah.
But I also am not sure how to feel about the big reveal.
Yes. All right.
Andrew being Lash. Was I not supposed to reveal that? Spoiler alert. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
All right. So, my likes. Is it right?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. You sure you don't want to talk about your dislikes no more?
No.
All right, good. All right, Team Daisy.
Yes.
Oh, it's pretty interesting.
Yes.
I like the new dynamic, aside from Daisy and Mac.
Yeah, how there they was Hunter. Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. And then fucking Hunter's knockout, dude. That shit was so hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? They look out. They're like, no!
And then he comes back and they're like, that's actually a good idea.
He's like, that's actually a good idea.
And then they're like, we don't have any things to get blood from here. He punches the guy in the face. He's like, there you go, blood.
There you go, blood. I love the May and Bobby stuff. I found it very interesting. Very cool. My dislikes is I disliked Andrew is Lash. I did not like that shit.
You did not like that.
So who, many unknowns.
Who it doesn't would you even, want it to be?
I don't care, but just not Andrew. Like, it just does. It literally makes no sense to me.
Would you rather it be Mac?
Well, that doesn't make sense either.
No.
Because yeah, he was in the vehicle. Twice he got beat up by a fucking Lash. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a female character, honestly.
Did you?
I did.
Even with the, you know, the no shirt on all the time?
So? They're inhuman. The fuck? They can transform into anything. The fuck does that mean? Huh? Whatever.
No.
I just thought it would be an interesting twist, okay?
So
rain on my parade, will you?
You're not interested in Andrew as Lash.
Nope. Let me tell you why. I don't have the greatest reason. It just doesn't make sense. What the fuck? It literally makes no sense. It's like, when have you ever...
I haven't explained it yet.
So?
And it does make sense in the way that it explains why he left May on their vacation. And other than that, I mean...
That makes sense.
And then
makes it make sense.
And then he comes back into S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, after that, you know, and they let him in. Like, and that just all happened this season. So it's like, why is he back in S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why didn't he kill Daisy? That all makes sense.
But how would Andrew have known where the van was? How would he have known
that? He was
that?
There.
No, he wasn't.
Well, I think he knows where Daisy's going. I don't know if he has like a tracker or something on her, but I mean, it's dangerous. Because the only way he knew where Lincoln was when they found Lincoln was because, you know, he was in S.H.I.E.L.D. and he knew that they were going after Lincoln. So it's like, what happened to the guy from the first episode?
What guy?
The guy who was melting everything. Was he killed by Lash?
Melting everything.
Like, the very first guy.
Oh, no, he wasn't. Oh, he probably was, because remember, he had to get freaking evaluated by Andrew.
Yeah, but it's like, why haven't we heard about this guy again? It's
probably
like,
because he's gone.
But you'd think, like, if he was gone, we'd hear about it. Like, they'd be like, oh. Or no, did they give him to the ACTC? ACTU?
I don't know.
I don't remember what happened with this guy.
I don't
know.
What, do we know anything anymore?
No.
I don't, I just don't like Andrew. Like, I just don't know. It just doesn't, like...
I like Andrew as Andrew.
Yes. I just don't think it fits.
I think they'll find a good way to explain it. I don't...
I will never accept it.
I hope that they do.
I'll never.
I hope that they can change your mind. But
I'll never accept this.
Yeah, I believe you.
I hope they kill Lash next episode.
Is that really what you hope?
Yep.
Subvert your expectations and, like, the big bad of the season is the ACTU. ATCU. What the fuck ever it's called.
Yeah.
They're bad people.
Very meh. Very, very meh.
But I did like how when Daisy found out, like, what the ATCU was doing, like, and she saw Coulson there, like, the other guys were like, well, we don't know anything yet, you know? Like, we don't know what he's saying or anything, you know? So it's like, I like how they didn't let her just jump to conclusions. Like, what would have happened in Arrow is, like, when the, like, next time she sees Coulson, she's like, yeah, you didn't consider my feelings!
Oh, no. It's happening all over again. Alright. But no, here, like, the talking points, it's like, why would they make Andrew Lash? Like, why? Why him out of all people?
I think it's because of his closeness to everybody inside of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? And I think that's what makes it relevant. It's like, if it was just some random guy, it's like, okay. But now that it's something like we know, it's, you know, now we have questions. What's motivating him? Why is
exactly,
he killing
that,
other humans? And
yeah, that's my other thing. It's like, what's motivating him as Lash? Like, why is he hunting these things down?
I mean, and why didn't he kill Daisy? Like, why hasn't he killed Daisy still?
Yeah,
I think it's because he's using Daisy to hunt down the other humans. Because he knows that S.H.I.E.L.D. is in, like, that's Daisy's task force, essentially, is that, you know, finding inhumans. And mm-hmm. once they find them, he can kill them, you know?
Okay. All right. Rating. Oh, wait. I have one more talking point.
You have one more talking point.
Yep. The stranger that helps Ward find the kid or whatever.
Yes.
What do you think he will come knocking for? Like, what will be the big favor that he asks Ward for?
I don't know what the favor will be, but I think, it'll have something to do with something or someone that Ward cares about. Be it, you know, Daisy. Or
do you think he really cares about Daisy anymore?
I think Ward would take any opportunity he could to do something with Daisy. Like, because I think he does still, you know, care for her, you know.
Interesting.
But I'm not sure what it will be, but I think that this new Hydra person will be a pretty compelling character. And have something to say or do, you know.
Okay, rating?
Probably like an 8.5.
That's my grade too.
Yeah,
that's pretty fair.
All right. So we haven't been talking about Doctor Who or Heroes Reborn in the past couple weeks, just because we've been behind. But we're gonna pick up from where we left off on both of those shows,
yes.
And just talk about them. Maybe not fully in depth, but we're gonna talk about them anyway and give our just basic ratings. So.
Okay, Heroes Reborn, Season 1, Episode 6, called Game Over. Noah Bennett takes it upon himself to seek important answers after making a startling discovery. Tommy and Emily take an unexpected journey. Melina finds an ally. Erica takes measures to interfere with Miko's mission.
Yes, so I like this episode quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
You probably liked it more because you, of course, love Hiro Nakamura.
I do.
And we saw his grand return in this episode. We also saw the death of Quentin. Right?
Quentin. We did not.
What?
Yeah.
Quentin Frady? The guy whose sister, what, like, killed him?
Oh, yeah. That is Quentin, huh?
Yeah. We also, you know... didn't his sister get killed too by Noah?
Maybe.
Yep. Sure, yeah, did. And so, like, that story was pretty interesting to me, how, like, that it crossed over with Miko's story and everything, but she's gone as well now because she finished the game.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool. Tommy running made sense to me. I didn't like necessarily him, like, oh, well, I'll make it through, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I can go up to the top of of this tower and everything, and it's like, you know that you're, you know, people are looking for you and everything, so it's kind of dangerous. But anyway, I also quite enjoyed Molina saving what's his name? Do you know his name?
I have no idea what his name. I keep forgetting his name.
I wish, yeah, I remembered. But the guy whose son died. And then, like, the only other thing that really happened was, like, something that wasn't even in the overview was, like, the El Vengador thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that guy's just a moron. Like, I have no hope for that guy ever doing anything. And that storyline isn't interesting anyway.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. I really have no interest in that storyline at all. It's just very meh to me at this point. I'm just like, I don't really care. Hope he, like, stays trapped in, like, wherever he's going. And they just stop showing it.
Did you watch the episode after this already?
No.
Okay. So, I guess it's good. Then we can talk about, you know, Hiro Nakamura taking him back to the day of what happened with in Odessa. And, you know, we're finally going to get some answers. So, I'm pretty excited for that.
I am, too. Because we have been talking about, it's like, storyline's kind of dragging along at this point or whatever. And then, so, I mean, like, what do you think happened, really?
I'm not sure. I think we're going to be surprised about how Claire died. And it's just going to be I'm going to be happy if they resolve things, you know, and, like, help move the story forward through that way instead of just dragging things out like a lot of shows do.
Yeah.
So.
But
overall, did you have other likes or dislikes? Or no. You can just grade it?
Just grade it. It's fine.
I think I'd give it, like, an 8. A solid 8. Like,
yeah, I thought it was a solid 8. Nothing too over the top. You know, my long expected of Hiro Nakamura's arrival was pretty short-lived. Wasn't all that great. And I was just like, meh. Okay.
Yep. So, let's move on.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Doctor Who, the girl who died. In a Viking village, a girl named I don't know how to say it.
Ashador.
Ashador. is about to make a desperate mistake. The Maiar are the deadliest mercenaries in the galaxy, famed for showing no mercy. And Ashadir has just declared war on them. The Doctor and Clara have 12 hours to turn a peaceful village into strong fighters. Ready for the deadly Maiar?
Yes. So nothing important happened this episode except in the last 15 minutes.
Literally, the episode sucked until fucking 15 minutes left.
Yeah, so...
It literally sucked the biggest dick in the world. I didn't like this episode at all. Like, I literally wrote that, like, I don't know what happened in my notes on this episode because it happened, like, 3 weeks ago or something like that.
This happened the week before Halloween.
Yeah, and it was like, I was like, oh, I hate this episode. This episode's so boring, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, this one event.
Sorry, 2 weeks before Halloween.
I was like, the one event saved, like, the entire episode. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the important part was, I mean, they had to build the story for it. Okay. Scott's looking through a hole. What? No. So they had to build a story for it. So Astrid. I don't think this is actually her name.
I don't remember
them calling her Ashilda.
Do you see an A in there?
It's how it's pronounced.
No, it's not. Ashilder.
It's Ashilda.
Ashilda. Okay, it's spelled A S H I L D R.
Yes.
Hit us up on Twitter if you can.
I'm telling you,
record yourself saying this name, and you can put an end to the great debate.
No, it's Ashida. This is a Scandinavian name, and I'm Norwegian.
Is it really? Yes. How do you know it's Scandinavian?
Because they're Vikings.
Shut up. Shut your face, cunt.
Okay.
All right. It's Asha there.
They said her goddamn name in the episode.
You didn't even watch the episode.
Yes, I did.
You fell asleep. Why was that?
We watched it just now.
I know, and it was Asha there.
This is not true at all. Dude, you're just making things
I remember.
Up. I remember saying, oh, how do you think Asha will be now?
No, because he's like, the doctor's like, he's like, don't worry, Clara. Clara Oswald. That's exactly what he says. It's so funny.
Hold on.
He's like, don't worry, Clara Oswald, I've made Asha Dare immortal.
He's like, Clara Oswald, I made a mistake because I was emotional. Asha Dare!
Asha Dare! Asha Dare, my ass!
I mean, and she really is immortal.
Okay, wait, no. So, how would you say your name?
A shield. This has nothing to do with the episode.
It has everything to do with it. Asha Dare made the episode good. So how can we not give Asha Dare the credit that she deserves?
Okay, so it's the doctor's decisions that made the episode good. No. And then like the flashback to David Tennant. I mean,
watch your mouth.
You're the one over here saying Asha D.
I did not say it like that.
You
I
said
Asha Dare. Asha Dare.
If you guys at home are finding this bothersome, you should probably never listen to our podcast again.
Whoa. They should listen to our podcast every single week so they can hear me say Asha Dare.
Because we know she's immortal, so she's going to be in every episode from
exactly,
now on.
Exactly, so I can talk about her every episode.
Yeah. Durr!
Okay, no, seriously, guys. Alright, let's just grade it. I'm done with this.
I'm done with this episode. So yeah, grade of the episode, 8.0. Okay, what are you doing?
I just dropped the mic. I hope that recorded. Hope that like
poof. Okay, what would
I no, seriously, I'd give it like a 2.5.
Really?
No. What kind of monster do you think I am?
A terrible one.
No. Honestly, I'd give it like a 6.8.
Worse than Supergirl.
Yeah. That was an awful episode, dude. That's like the same reason that we talked about the Arrow is like outside of Matt Ryan, was the episode good?
No, but this is...
Outside of the last 15 minutes of a one-hour episode, was that episode good?
But the great part about the episode, like, involved the two main characters of the episode. Like, the main characters in Arrow had nothing to do with how good that episode was.
Who were the main characters in this episode?
It's... Clara and the doctor. Like, their conversation.
Are you sure that they were the only main characters in this episode?
Okay.
Are we missing somebody?
His decision to save Asha Dare was
important.
Well,
that's not how you say it. You gotta give it a real go at it. It's Asha Dare. I, like, fucking laughed mid-sentence.
And you spit on me.
Yes!
He said Asha.
It's because I started laughing. I was trying not to fart, too.
Guys, we had talk about before we started recording.
Oh.
And instead of being smart and taking a little poopsie, we decided, let's just start recording. So now we both have to do that, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So, I think that's all we have for this episode.
Yeah, be sure to check out our
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website,
yeah.
www.nerdyboysreviews.com.
Yeah, our buy list
and
is
you
up.
Can check out Asha Dare there too.
Thanks to Nicholas J. I'm pretty sure you said cool buy list this week. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Don't pump up his head. His
Pro
books are shit.
Poster. Thanks a lot for being a great listener. always involved with us on all the media, or well, just Twitter, but appreciate it. And yeah, that's going to wrap us up because we have important things to do, like evacuations of the bowels. Don't tell them our future plans. Yeah. but yeah, that's all we have for you guys this week. Please join us again next week, of course. If you enjoy what we do here, please also go to our iTunes podcast place and review us.
Yes, share those links all over your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Tell your good friends, your mothers, your sisters, your daughters all about us.
What you should really do is just delete your actual social media pages and create Nerdy Boys Reviews fan pages.
We love the Nerdy Boys Reviews. Yeah, we're
dedicated to, you know, hashtag
Team Scott
the
all day.
Stay Nerdy Team. Hashtag Team Christian, because Team Scott is hashtag as you do.
You watch your mouth, young lady.
Guys, we are not Slizzard. I just internally farted, so that means we should end this soon. So.
Alright, I think that's all we have for you guys today. And remember, as always, we have one simple saying at this studio, and that's Al should there.
Guys, send your best hashtag #AshD to us on Twitter. So that's going to wrap us up. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm
and I'm Nerdy Girl AshD. Get it together, man!
It's so nerdy.
No, we gotta.
Oh, fuck! Oh, shit!